This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi, this is Kathy Freeman, and you're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello, and welcome to Been There, Done That, Joy 94.9, with Gordon, Phil, and Chris. Hello, Gordon.
Hello. What's your name?
Chris.
And not being Gordon or Chris, that makes me Phil.
It certainly does.
Although I was Phil before I met Gordon and Chris, but that's another story.
You're confusing us.
It's my job.
That's the sole reason for his existence, to confuse the pair of us.
We put another level on our house, but that's another story.
Is it?
Oh. Thank you, Phil. I'm sorry, listener. This is going to be the nature of the program today, although it's much like that every week that we do a program. Been There, Done That is Joy's history program, and we'll be talking about various things that have happened in the lives of ourselves and of our predecessors, and hopefully things that will occur in the future, because history is being written today, even though we don't recognise it.
What's that saying about if you don't know where you've come from, you don't know where you're going?
Well, Phil,
you're looking very...
I'm trying to think why I bought that Melways.
Yeah, for sure. Some birthdays we'll be celebrating. So today we'll be talking about Jacques Morali, the French music producer. We'll be talking about Neil Tennant from the Pet Shop Boys. We'll be talking about Hadrian the Roman Emperor. Let's see, what else are we talking about? NAIDOC. We'll be talking about the last week's election kerfuffle, and yes, how we were trapped in a time zone, nothing going forward, nothing going backwards. Sociology, we'll be talking about that, and our own constitution and constitutions around the world. So there's a whole mess of things on today's program. Stay tuned. But we want to say thank you indeed before we go any further to Ad Lib to Fade. And please, after our show, hang around, because there we'll be listening to an encore version of Stand Up Straight and The Spirit Lounge.
Very, very good. Now, you're talking about constitutions. I always think that if you eat well, you'll always have a good constitution.
Oh, yes, yes. My mother used to say, eat a little bit of licorice and you get a good run for your money.
I was just told to eat my carrots.
So you could see in the dark.
That's a fallacy that was made up in World War II.
Yes, that's
carrots
right.
Have got nothing to do with your eyesight.
Haven't they?
No, nope, it was all a Western rumour.
It was propaganda.
It was the same as spinach.
Well, I don't know how proper my goose is, but if you've got a propaganda, then that's fine.
That one came back to bite me, yes.
Yeah, but
propaganda is the same word that we use for propagating plants, for growing plants. It's propaganda is the action of talking, discussion, of spreading ideas.
So in an election
good
campaign.
Good or bad.
They're just called lies in an election.
Stupid.
As I always say, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics when you have an election.
Yes. Last weekend, it was a kerfuffle.
Well, the it was really, I mean, but
we've wasted money. We didn't get a conclusion out of it.
But you've got to remember that the polls were right. They said it was going to be 50-50. And it's the first time the polls have been right for a long, long time, because the last election in Queensland, they got it wrong. They got it wrong with Brexit. They got it wrong with the English elections, the last in English elections. The pollsters were having a bad name, but this year they got it right with the Australian election.
But some of the pollsters were politically driven, like Mr. Murdoch's newspapers and things like that. And they were calling it one way, and then other newspapers were calling it other ways, and other commentators weren't calling it precisely.
But they only had it within a 1% margin, Mr. Murdoch's papers. But, and this is the point. But As they say, you know, you ask a politician about polls and they say there's only one poll that we take any notice of. Oh, yeah.
Unless they're good.
Unless they're good, yes. And when they're good, they're very, very good. When they're bad, they fall in a heap. But the worst part about the election was, of course, it looks if it's going to be a hung parliament, we're going to suffer, the gay community are going to suffer, because I think that a plebiscite for marriage equality will be disbanded for quite a while, and it won't be happening this year as was promised by Mr. Turnbull.
Well,
and we don't want the plebiscite anyhow, but there you go. I don't anyhow. I think it's...
Well, Mr. Turnbull did say what he intended with the plebiscite, but Mr. Shorten was saying that he would be passing it within the first days if it was his government that got in.
Well, if he gets into government and says, right, we're going to do that, we're going to have a vote in the parliament, the Greens will go with that, and so will the Xenophon party in the Senate, so that it looks that would probably get through.
But usually, of course, with voting, the prediction of who's the winner in any particular seat is usually fairly well defined early on in the process. But this time round, there's still, at the end of the weekend, I think there was about 13 seats undecided.
So there's about eight now.
Anyway,
we can't even decide on that.
No, but it all depends on the incoming of postal votes, absentee votes, and it's not just a matter of what piece of paper do come back from the polling centres. They've got to actually been counted if there's any doubt about them, because WA got into trouble last year when they lost a box of votes, and all these sorts of things have got to be shaken out. All the overseas votes have got to come in and be sent to their particular areas to be counted and marked off the lists.
That's exactly
so
right.
So that's why there is this sort of 13-day window after the closing of, but most of the times it doesn't really affect the outcome. This time it does. It really does.
Yeah, but that's because the fact that Mr. Shorten did a very, very good... he was out there in the election, in the hustings. He was going from the moment that Mr. Turnbull became the Prime Minister. They had to move something because he was so popular when he came in. He was at 70% approval rating or something or other, and the Labor Party realised they had to do something. So they got out there and went out into the hustings, and they had town hall meetings, and they had all sorts of things. And Mr. Shorten was running around the country for months, not just during the 8 weeks of this very long, boring election.
But Mr. Turnbull helped Mr. Shorten because when his popularity was way up there. He hadn't done anything.
No.
All he did was got rid of Abbott, which everybody just felt good at that point.
That's true.
But when he started doing things...
Well, he was putting things on the table and taking them off again, wasn't he?
Oh, policy every day.
Yes. But it's, I'm a bit concerned about the equal marriage thing. And also, it's just going to be one of those things, but I don't know. It's...
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
By the end of this week, we could probably have some more, a closer idea of what's going to happen, because they were supposed to start counting on the Tuesday. On Tuesday, they were supposed to start counting the extra votes and all the rest of it. So by the end of this week, it should be fine. We should know.
And it was interesting that the two topics that caused the double disillusion disappeared and weren't discussed at all during the run-up.
Not at all.
It was very, very, very odd.
Yeah. Well, if you call it a double disillusion, like was called on those two bills, especially the ABCC one, which was the big one that they needed to get done, it wasn't mentioned at all. I don't know.
Because, what was it? Jobs and growth was easier to say.
three word slogans. That's right.
That was their whole platform.
There was a lovely little thing in the paper I read that said jobs and growth has given way to hubris.
indeed.
Which I thought was clever.
It's NAIDOC week this week.
Yes, it is.
And we've got a song here from Georgia Lee, Yarra River Blues, just to bring the topic back to local things.
That's right.
Where does Georgia come from?
Georgia was an Australian Aboriginal blues singer, Indigenous blues singer, back in the 50s and 60s, late 50s, early 60s. She was quite famous. She toured America with a couple of very good blues bands. She was very, very popular in nightclubs and all those sort of things. She did really, really well. And she recorded one LP, and they went. I read in the paper where she had died in Queensland about 6 years ago, I think it was, that she died. And I was walking through the record shop and just flipped through, and there was the CD of Georgia Lee with all the songs she'd ever done. So I bought it because she's got a great voice.
And she's singing it in a blues style.
That's right.
Yeah. You're on Joy 94.9, been there, done that.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
Yes, you certainly can. You can subscribe to it for free. Subscribe means just sort of putting yourself on the list so that every time a new podcast from this show goes up on the web page, you'll be notified, and then you can play it and to your heart's content.
You can just go on your own.
Oh, yeah.
Just go and have a listen to us any old time.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then send us an email.
Or you could even send us an email with a picture attached.
Wasn't it a lovely photo that we got during the week?
Some puppies are too cute for their own good. That's all I'm going to say.
And we're talking about?
Cupcake.
Cupcake. Nina's beautiful little dog. Yes, Nina, she's beautiful.
Thank you very much for letting us.
Cuter than my Eddie.
Well, we haven't seen a photo of you, Eddie. Come on, your turn next.
Well, I can't show the radio audience, can I?
Yes, you can. Hold it up to the microphone.
Oh, there he is. Oh. His little white moustache.
Oh, good.
You're with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Been there, done that, Joy 94.9. It's the time when we, in our list of things to talk about, we talk about NAIDOC Week.
Yes, and we opened NAIDOC Week on this program with a song by Georgia Lee, Yarra River Blues.
And it didn't sound too bad for something that had been recorded a few years back.
Would have been the 60s when that was recorded.
Oh, that is historically a historic record then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real music.
That was real music. It wasn't.
When a bass was a bass and drums were drums and there were no machines.
Yep. What does NAIDOC really mean, Chris?
Well, it's the National Aborigines and Islanders Day Observance Committee.
That's what it was started out as, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
Mm. I thought it was the opposite of YAIDOC. If yay or nay, and this is NAIDOC. This is why I'm not on these committees.
That's right. But right. NAIDOC as an acronym has actually been adopted, even though the words within it now are of slightly not really spot on.
Not spot on anymore, but it just means that it's a celebration of the Indigenous culture in Australia, which I am, for one, am so pleased that they're able to do it.
Well, that's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
That's right, yep.
And it's interesting that Torres Strait Islanders are included there. Well, all the islands are certainly within Australia's boundary.
That's right.
Yep. But we tend to think that mainland, and sometimes we even forget about Tasmania. But it's nice to really extend there.
Yep. And it's during this week, or I don't know whether it's going to be up there for a while, but up on our Parliament House, they have the Aboriginal flag and they have the Torres Strait Islander flag as well. I noticed it yesterday.
When do we get the rainbow flag up there?
We did have it last week.
Yes, we did too. Yes.
And it was up there, and the nighttime lights were coloured for the rainbow, and they lit up the building.
That was in memory of Orlando. They put that
it
up.
It was.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But what I love about NAIDOC Week is the way you get all that's terrific stuff on television, so you can actually see it. And they have a wonderful TV station, NITV, which is part of the SBS system, I think.
The channels of SBS.
It's one of the channels of SBS.
Yes.
And I watched one of the cartoons the other day about how the Yarra River was formed, and we just played Yarra River Blues, and they had the legend of how the Yarra was formed. And I thought, isn't that lovely?
Can you remember what the legend was?
Something was slithering along the thing, but as it was going along, it was sort of cutting a furrow into the ground.
Yeah.
And then when it rained, the water came down, and that's how the Yarra River was formed.
Well, it certainly wanders and meanders around.
Yeah, it could be a snake's way.
Did they explain how the dirt got on top of the water and not on the bottom?
I didn't think they did that. But this is the culture that is so old. It's probably one of the oldest cultures in the world, and yet it's been bypassed for so many years. and should be part of the history of Australia, of white settlement even, you know, because...
But we don't seem to get it. Yeah. America was pretty slow to recognise their American Indians.
Yeah.
New Zealand seemed to have gotten it right.
Well, they had the Waitangi Treaty, the Treaty of Waitangi.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all about inclusion and recognition.
The recognition of the Aboriginal, the Maori's right to land, yeah.
We just sort of pushed them away.
Well, this was...
invaded the land and took over.
It caused a bit of kerfuffle on the television when somebody said it was Invasion Day and Mr. Shorten agreed with them. You have to. We did invade the place.
Well, by every definition.
By every definition, we did invade. Yeah. Yeah, the white people did invade. But when you consider that when you look at the Aboriginal art that's around, the old art, that's the rock carvings and everything, they're just absolutely wonderful. They're amazing stuff, how they did it. And they've been there for centuries.
Well, I went on one of my trips to Europe recently and I saw the caves where the first bisons were scratched into the rocks there and the hand was silhouetted.
Was that in France, is it?
It was in France, yeah. And I thought, wow. But I haven't been to our own rock art sites here in Australia. Mm. Have you?
No, I haven't been. But they're very protective of them because they are very delicate and they don't want streams and hordes of people just screaming through because they'll finish up writing, Fred was here, across the top of it.
Well, it
stupid.
Just reflects the culture of the people who were doing the writing.
Mm.
Fred was here is certainly not in the same class.
No, of course.
Well,
it's not.
One day we're going to find out that all these ancient things basically come back and say Fred was here.
You mean that might be the literal interpretation?
That's right.
But there was another.
Till we get the Bible right.
Yeah.
Fred wasn't here.
He's just a naughty boy.
Just a naughty boy. Very naughty boy.
I was watching another program on television where they were talking about teaching the Aboriginal languages back to the children, which was very interesting because I've always thought that they should teach Aboriginal languages in schools. Even white schools, so that we can understand what the whole thing is about. Because when you learn a language, you learn a lot about the culture and the history of somebody.
Sometimes, well, I think perhaps in the past here in Australia, the Aboriginal culture has been remote from the ordinary white man.
Only because we've made it so.
Well, yes. Probably in the country areas and the outbacks, there's more integration, although people probably didn't recognise or realise it was integration. But these days, the big cities are the main cultural and residential centres. So,
But I tell you what, the culture is coming through from the Aboriginal people these days. They've had some wonderful TV shows with Aboriginal actors. Look at Clever Man. Do you watch Clever Man on the television?
No.
Fabulous. And this was one of the things that came up on the program I watched last night about Vic Sims, who was an 11-year-old Aboriginal boy singing with the Cold Joy and the Joy Boys on Bandstand. And he said that he probably saw the last Clever Man because he was driving his car and he saw this man walking along strangely dressed and everything. And he offered him a lift. He was in his car and he offered him a lift. And the man said no. And he said, when he got to the next bridge, the man was in front of him. And he said, I'm sure I saw the last Clever Man, which is one of the stories of the Aboriginal cultures. Yeah. It was interesting. Just interesting.
Well, I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Spooky.
All these scary stories.
Yeah.
But no, we actually have Aboriginal culture presented to us more and more in the big cities.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was getting
to. That's what you were getting around to, that one. Hmm.
And recently, here in Melbourne, we had the football match where, in fact, the whole ceremony was opened with a smoking ceremony and a dancing group, and it was a welcome to country. And we sort of have adopted those little features into our everyday diet.
Yep. Welcome to country is a very big thing these days. Everybody gets a welcome to country and a thank you to the indigenous owners of the land, which is very, very good. But I tell you what, during that football session, that game, they all had Aboriginal pattern jumpers.
Yes.
And I would prefer to see them played in them all the time.
One of the Adelaide teams, I think it's Port Power, have actually re-sung the club theme into local dialect.
That's right.
And it really hums along.
Yeah.
Okay, it's got the basic same tune, but it's got different rhythms to fit the words, of course. And it really sounds as good as the English version. So it would be good if all the teams actually had their own team song sung in the local dialect.
Have you ever heard Waltzing Matilda sung in an Aboriginal dialect?
I've not.
It is fabulous. It really is. There's a recording out of a group of Aboriginal women singing Waltzing Matilda in their dialect, and it's absolutely wonderful. But hey, what about, we started off with elections. What about the first Aboriginal lady being elected to the House of Representatives?
Oh, yes.
Linda Burney. She won the seat of Barton for the Labor Party. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. She's been in politics a wee while.
Yes, she's been.
And she spoke very, very well at the acceptance
good on her.
Speech.
Yeah. But there's also another thing that they thought would be get a bit of a bypass from that election with the Aboriginal would be the Constitution to recognise the Aboriginals and a treaty. And I was listening to Uncle Jack Charles talking, and he was sort of saying that we really need a treaty before we need the constitutional change. I always look forward to NAIDOC Week because you could get all sorts of different information coming up about our own natural heritage and culture.
And one day we won't need a week because it'll be
ordinary.
All around us.
All around us, yeah, which will be great. I know. I can't wait for that to happen.
We're going to play a piece of music from Jacques Morali.
Oh, right.
And
we're going French now rather than Aboriginal.
It was his birthday on the 4th of July, born in 1947, but he died at the young age of 44 of AIDS-related illnesses.
Like many did.
Like many did. And he was a Frenchman and groundbreaking in disco and dance music. And he did put together a novelty act.
Well, he was a producer more than a performer, wasn't he? And he came up with some boys, put them together.
Well, he came up with the Ritchie family, who were in the disco era a very good lady singing group.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with a mob called the Village People.
Oh, only the Village People? Who were they?
Just a little village in New York City.
Yeah, down in the village. Down,
yep.
And it's interesting.
Just normal people straight off the street.
Dressed in Indian gear and fireman's gear and all
leather man.
But for the era, they were it.
They were it, all right. Yes.
They still are. Love them.
They're talking about In the Navy. Here we go. On Joy.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're with Phil, Gordon and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. We were talking a little while ago about the plebiscite not being possible.
Possible.
Mm. Yes, it might pass by our things. So it's something new and something to be really not tolerated almost in some people's minds. But I can tell you that way back in the Roman eras and the Greek eras, way back when...
That's when the gay people were roaming in the Gloaman?
They were more than that. admittedly, some people say it led to the downfall of the Roman Empire.
Oh, we're blamed for everything, so we might as well be blamed for that, Chris. I mean, you know.
But let's see, when was this gentleman born? He was born in the year 138 on the 10th of July, and we're talking about Hadrian, the Roman Emperor. Now, he lost his father when he was just 10 years old.
Probably be murdered by somebody.
No. and he became the ward of a relative, Trajan, who eventually adopted him. And Trajan was a cousin of Hadrian's father. And Trajan went on to become emperor of Rome in the year 98, when Hadrian was just 22 years old. But both Trajan and Hadrian were included in the set known as the Five Good Emperors, as numbers 2 and 3, respectively. And Trajan's campaigns expanded the Roman Empire to its greatest ever territorial extent, and Hadrian travelled from one end of this empire to the other, But one of the most beloved of the Roman emperors, Trajan... also was well known for his homosexuality.
He was a gay guy, a gay Roman.
Well, and for his fondness of young males. Now, okay, well, we get into the deep water here, but both Trajan and Hadrian kept harems of boys who were in their early teens, and many of the troubles between the two were caused by the boys they kept. Oh, troubles. But both men were exclusively homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
They maintained marriages with women as sexless, childless unions for formal purposes, like Hollywood years. They were married. But Trajan's love of young male flesh was once used to the advantage when he was dealing with one of the kings of a neighbouring country.
Yes, that's right.
And that particular king battling with said, well, how about I give you my prettiest and youngest son as a peace offering? And so there you go.
That'd be a nice peace, wouldn't it?
Well,
just put him on layboy.
Put him on layboy.
Come back when they're 20.
But we're talking about an era when, whilst it wasn't the norm for men of that era to be exclusively homosexual, homosexual behaviour was accepted and not questioned, particularly between older men and adolescent boys.
Yeah, well, that's the way they did it, didn't they?
Well, I mean, that was Plato and the rest of the Greeks had that sort of thing.
Mm.
And there was actually one of the Roman armies, the Band of Thebes, an army of male lovers, couples, represented the ideal of military strength and might. And we can't forget Alexander the Great, who was himself a gay man.
Well, they figured that with the troops being boyfriends and lovers and everything, that they would fight like hell to protect one another.
The Romans and the Greeks tolerated this behaviour. It was part of their society, and it seemed to work. Because it wasn't outlawed in the Roman or the Greek societies for many a long year. It just sort of, they changed the emphasis eventually. However, in the US, recently, on the 30th of June, the Pentagon announced the end of a long-standing ban on military service by transgender Americans. Now, if that's not creating a level playing field or a fighting field, I don't know what is.
They said in the article that there were so many thousands of transgender people already fighting in the army for them. So why wouldn't you say, righto, if they're good enough to go and fight, why not just recognise the thing? So good on him.
All just a hangover from the don't ask, don't tell days. So they're just trying to erase all that.
Between 1,320 and 6,630 transgender Americans currently serving in the armed forces. So that's a lot of people in the armed forces of America that are transgendered. But we've got a very interesting transgendered service person here in Australia.
Kate
McConnell, is it? Kate?
Can't remember, but
Kate's the name. Yeah. But she transgendered while she was in the army, didn't she?
And I don't know whether they paid for any of that or not.
Well, I don't know.
They're certainly allowing that in the US forces to attain the gender of their preference.
Talking about gender neutrality, you've got Pierre Trudeau. It's Justin Trudeau. I wish we had somebody like him here in the politics, you know. But he's got the use of gender-neutral identity cards.
Now, Canada, like the US, presumably have identity cards that you carry with you. It's sort of like a very portable and safe equivalent to a passport for general identification. But if your gender is noted on there, it might disagree with how you're appearing. Of course, this is what's happening in some of the southern states. Oh, you can't use the toilets there because you appear to be a boy going into a lady's toilet. Vice versa.
Philip, did the American license is used as a identity
It is, isn't it? And it does have your gender on it.
Yeah. So it says male or female.
Yeah.
And Australia is one of the few countries in the world. There's Australia, New Zealand and Nepal already allow the use of the X gender indicator. So if you are a transgender person, you can put an X on your license. So
and Australia's had that for a little while. Yeah, and I believe that our own Sally Goldner here in Melbourne pushed that along and got it through.
Yep.
So that was brilliant.
Mm.
So sociology comes and goes. There are benefits from lots of parts of our communities.
Yeah, and then you've also got the United Nations. They're creating an LGBTIQ envoy. Yeah.
Now, what's their purpose, Gordon?
Well, I would say that they just realise that there is a hell of a lot of us around the place and we come from countries that are not very happy with us and are doing what they can to get rid of us.
And if I may use a really old stereotype, it's about time somebody got into that place and rearranged the furniture. It's shocking.
And I think it's well worth having an envoy for that purpose, because when you look what they're doing in some of the African countries and the and in the Middle East there, you know, it's just shocking. So you really need somebody.
Once again, it's human rights, not gay rights.
No, it's human rights, you know. Why shouldn't everybody be treated as equal? No, good on the United Nations for getting onto it. Perhaps we could get Kevin Rudd wasn't going to be, he was trying to be the Secretary General or something or other, so we could make him the envoy.
Well, we haven't got human rights here yet, so.
No. Well, if he becomes the envoy, we might get him.
So we are in the Pride season, and as you said, Canada had their Pride March. Mm. And also, who was marching in that?
Justin Trudeau in the Toronto Pride March.
Well, that was a terrific way of supporting our community by a leader.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I hear some music.
And we're celebrating whose birthday? Neil Tennant's birthday.
From the Pet Shop Boys.
Born...
Oh, I don't know when he was born. Yes, he was born. 10th of July, 1954. So he's a young fella. Congratulations.
I think we should go west.
All right, then. Let's do that.
But you're going to build a rabbit-proof fence, aren't you?
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. We enjoy your feedback as well. But if you'd like to, send an email to us, beenthere@joy.org.au. And we'll even play some of your music requests if we can get our hands on the actual stuff.
Sometimes. And if we like it.
Sometimes we might have it at home, so you might have to take a couple of weeks to get it in for you or something rather like that. But we can do that. Yeah. Anything you want. Well, a lot within reason, of course.
we have an eclectic mix of CDs, etc. At home.
Yes, we do.
I don't think we've got much Justin Bieber, though. I haven't.
I haven't either, I must admit.
Me either, so sorry about that.
He might be on our playlist. We'd have to check on that for you anyhow.
Maybe not.
But of course, this week there's been a big celebration. There would have been a big celebration in the US of A, of course, because it was their Independence Day this week.
4th of July.
The 4th of July happened this week.
It'll be out tailgating and barbecuing.
Yeah, that's
having
right.
Having a great old time.
Now, you feel because you've lived in the US of A many years.
As a resident alien.
Yes, as a resident alien. Yes.
Were you called ET?
No, but I didn't like the term resident alien.
And you didn't phone home.
I did phone home.
So how close to the heart of an American man in the street is their country, is this celebration? Is it like AFL Grand Final Day?
No, they've got the Super Bowl for that.
Oh, okay.
I think you'd find with the average, not the flag-waving American, it's a really good holiday weekend.
Yes.
Oh, like and Australia as well. Then.
Yeah, so it's traditionally a good day to barbecue. And
because it is the middle of summer over there, isn't it?
So it's peak season.
You should have good weather.
And barbecues and picnics are really big deals. I mean, you bring your chicken and all your various salads and things, and you know, you can either
pumpkin
cook it.
Pie.
Oh, no, that's more Thanksgiving and disgusting. I like the concept of pumpkin pie. You roast pumpkins and eat them with your lamb. But they don't do that.
I've had American cooked pumpkin pie. It's very nice.
It probably is. I can't get myself to eat it.
But they make it sweet because they make it like a dessert.
Yeah, but
it's a dessert.
That's not pumpkin in my brain.
Well, in lots of countries, they only feed pumpkin to the animals.
Well,
it's only in the.
There are parts of America where you sort of wonder if that's happening. But no, it is. It's a very big weekend, and they are way more patriotic than Australians. We're very
laid back.
Well, we call it laid back, but we really couldn't care less. I mean, look at Australia Day. It's just a day off in summer.
Yes.
Or it's an invasion day to some, but we won't get Gordon started on that.
No, I'm not going to even talk about it. But because the American Independence Day was the 4th of July, but they started to go for independence because they wanted to leave Britain, of course, because they had the Boston Tea Party and all the rest of the taxes that Britain was going to impose on them.
What were they getting? Taxation without...
Representation or something rather, yeah. And so that the Americans wanted to get rid of Britain so that they decided that they would form their own, they would have their own independence. So they wrote their Declaration of Independence in about a couple of weeks or something. Rather, Thomas Jefferson actually wrote it, the full thing, and then he gave it to a group of people from different states.
The founding fathers.
Founding fathers. And they all they did was make a few alterations. They took it to the Congress and voted on it. That
they were
it.
Going to mail it to George Washington, and he said, I'll send it to my Gettysburg address.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But how many states were actually involved in that early process?
Ooh, the 11. Early flag had 13
13.
Stars.
I think it's 13. I think there was 13 stars. Yeah, 13 states
so
originally.
So it wasn't fully representative then of what the country is now.
Oh, God, no. They've had
So, in fact, all those have been disenfranchised from contributing to the Act of Independence.
Well, they may not have even been populated at that point.
Mm. Oh, true.
Mm. Or purchased, as one was.
As in Louisiana,
No, Alaska.
Alaska. Yeah, but they purchased it.
The Louisiana purchase is a completely different thing.
Is it? Oh, right.
But it was a good buy, though.
It was a good buy, yeah.
Oh, if you want to buy some swampland.
They did it very quickly. But then, of course, when Australia decided that they would want to get their six states together or five states together, they had years of wrangling and arguing and getting it all meetings and all the rest of it to try to work out
the
constitution.
Yeah, because we had bureaucrats and America didn't. That's the big difference.
Yeah, well, they...
Well, the first Australian Constitutional Convention was held in 1891, and it wasn't until 1898 that a draft had been agreed on. But because of communications and everything, the six states had to agree on things. But there was no high-speed way of transmitting the documents.
Well, you had people over in WA. There was no train. If they wanted to come to the meeting, they had to get a boat around.
Yeah.
And that would take a couple of weeks to get here even, you know. And then you had Brisbane as well. They would have probably come down by Cobb & Co. coach if they...
Well, they were still a century behind.
They still are.
You know, but so it was the tyranny of distance to get it all together as quickly as that.
This weekend, Queensland voted in the 1972 election.
Yeah.
Did they?
Well, now, trivia question on the American states. Hmm. What was the last state added to the Union?
It was Hawaii.
It was. And why does Hawaii have the name Hawaii 5-0?
Because that's probably the only way they greet one another.
No, it's the 50th state.
50th state.
5-0.
Oh, right.
Yes, yeah.
Their greeting is Malaha. Now I've lost it.
Malaha.
No, it's Mahalo.
Mahalo.
But it means hello and goodbye.
Oh, right.
And it often means thank you. And my friends in Hawaii got confused because in McDonald's on the rubbish bin it says Mahalo, as in thank you for putting your rubbish in here. They thought Mahalo meant rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Alaska was the one before it, wasn't it? It was the 49th.
Yep, and it was purchased from the Russians.
That's right, yeah, for about two and sixpence.
What's her name can see Russia from her house.
Yeah. Palin, Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a worry.
That's a bit of a worry.
They've got their own Pauline Hanson.
They got their own Pauline Hanson. I was just about to say, I wonder how far Pauline can see.
Oh, she can't see anything. She's got blinkers on.
Anyhow. Yeah.
Now, look, if you get into a spot of bother and you need to ring on the phone, we've got to thank the Brits because back in 1937, on the 1st of July, the British emergency number system was implemented, and the first 999 emergency called 7 days later when a woman reported a burglar outside her home. The burglar was duly apprehended, so the report goes.
So 999 was a good number to ring then.
Well, it was there. What's the Australian one?
000.
Which is a really dumb number.
Well, it's the furthest you've got on the old dialect system.
The rotary phone.
It was the slowest way to get through
to anybody.
But now it's on us, on the mobile phone, it's 112, isn't it?
112 on a mobile or 000.
Yeah.
But they're not rotary phones.
No, you could 000.
It was a digital phone.
You just go bang, 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 you know, so that's fine. But your rotary phone, that was 000. You would be better off with 111, you know.
Our educators, known as the TV networks, have taught us all our lives that the emergency number is 911, as it is in America.
And a lot of people get caught with that. They ring 911 and they don't get any answer when there's an emergency.
It would be very easy to do that as a first instinct.
Yeah, we're taking so much from America. We're getting corruption of our English language. We're getting everything coming from America these days because of television.
And I've got some really bad news.
What's that?
McDonald's in the ACT are test marketing pies.
What, meat pies?
Meat pies. This could be the beginning of the end.
I hope with tomato sauce.
I don't know.
Some dead horse.
A meat and a curry.
Wow.
Meat and a curry. Oh, right.
Well, I wonder how they get on in India. They'd have to have curry on the menu there.
Well, it'd be hard to sell the meat. McDonald's meat probably doesn't come from cows.
In France, it probably comes from horses.
Yeah. That's why it's called the EU.
No wonder the Brits wanted to leave.
Oh, get me off.
There's a lot to go in that as well. Yeah. Well, we might have a couple of topics to talk about next week. Probably we won't even start to guess them because we don't know what's going to happen over the weekend.
But stay tuned. We might have a show with absolutely no topics.
That'll be
statistically
fun.
It has to happen one time.
I'm sure that I will come in and in my pigeonhole on Sunday morning, find a whole pile of paper that our wonderful producer Chris has printed out
merely as suggestive topics.
Of course.
Suggested topics.
I was about to say I'm not suggestive at all.
Well, I don't know.
We're going to go out with the Pigram Brothers. I nearly said the Piggies, but you're only Pigram allowed to Brothers. Call them the Piggies if you're from the West, and I'm not. And
you've got to be living in Broome to call them the Piggies, I think.
Do you? And who are the Pigram Brothers?
The Pigram Brothers are a whole family, actually, of the Pigram family. They live in Broome.
Hence the word brothers.
And because of their family, they have this wonderful voice or vocal connection, and they just sing in so many harmonies and all the rest of it. It's just wonderful. And I've got most of their CDs. I think they're wonderful. And they have a very distinctive sound. And they don't travel very often because they have so many people coming from international countries to stay in Broome that they don't have to travel because they get their audience comes in and sees them. You know?
Well, if you lived in a room, it'd be very hard to get out.
It's very hard to get out of a cupboard, yes.
Well, stop it! Well, let's have a lovely...
I've been in a closet, but I'm not going back.
Let's hear from the Pigram Brothers as we leave you for this week. They'll be singing a simple song here on Joy. Thanks for being with us. Cheerio for
Bye
now.
Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.
In the mood.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.